Turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. Our exhortation, half of it will be simply reading God's Word. And I will try to restrain myself and only give a couple of points. But I just was almost overwhelmed with this story. It's a story I first heard as a child, but it becomes more dear to me every day. 2 Kings chapter 5. Let me set this up for you. This was about 850 years before Christ was born. I'm trying to figure it up. That's what, 2,900 years? Wow. Almost. Wow. But things haven't changed. Humanity is still the same. Israel is divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom, the ten tribes, never had a good king. All the kings were evil in a spiritual sense. They did not serve God. The capital of the northern kingdom is Samaria. At this time, Elisha is living in the capital city of the northern kingdom. He's got a house in Samaria. So keep that in mind. The southern kingdom, Judah, is not mentioned in this story. But there's a nearby country, Syria. Its capital is Damascus. And at this time, Syria probably had a little more power than Israel, and there were skirmishes back and forth. So that sets the scene for this. So here we go in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold. That's 150 pounds of gold. Not ounces, pounds of gold. And 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Phapar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it's a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So now, accept a present from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none." and he urged him to take it, but he refused. Then Nahum said, "If not, please let there be given to me, your servant, 2 mule loads of earth. For from now on, your servant will not offer burnt sacrifices or sacrifice to any other god but the Lord." Great story. Just a couple of points. One, the slave girl. This story doesn't happen if that slave girl had not shared her faith. She believed in the one true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. She knew who the true prophet was. She knew who the false prophets were. And she wasn't a bubble-headed thing either, because when she spoke, her master listened. This was a level-headed girl. And she had real, real affection for her master. That's one person to consider in this story. Next, let's consider Naaman. I will say Naam occasionally, you know, they'll get the prophet and stuff. Naaman. Well, you know, he was very successful. And I think he's like the centurion in the New Testament. Had a lot of respect. And he was a man you could be counted on. And I noticed the servants really liked him. And there was no one more powerful except the king himself. But he had a problem. He had one problem. He had a disease. An incurable disease that would eventually lead to incapacitation and death. Kind of reminds me of the gospel. No matter how good you are, relatively speaking, you've got a problem. You have an incurable disease. That is sin. It's eating away your flesh, and you'll go into judgment. Well, what about the king of Israel? There's your bubblehead. Think about this for a minute. He's self-centered. He gets this letter. Oh, it's a setup. What am I going to do? I can't cure anybody. Elisha is in the same town. He's got a house in the same town. He didn't even think about the prophet, a true prophet of God. And then there's Elisha. Elisha said, you come and send him to me. My desire is that people will know who the true living God is. So Nahum goes to Elisha, and he's expecting a big show. You know how people are, you know. He's going to come out, and he's going to do a little song and dance. He's going to bow before me in respect. And then he's going to wave his hands. It's going to be a big show. And then he's going to do all of this. And none of that happened. Elisha didn't even walk out the door. He sent his servant. And his servant just said, "Go to the Jordan River, wash 7 times, you'll be restored. You will be clean." This ticks Naaman off. He didn't even come out and give me any respect at all. And the Jordan River, that muddy old thing, we have much more majestic rivers in Syria. The Jordan is like rivers around here. It has a sediment in it, you know, and it looks dirty all the time. It's not clean because of the dirt and everything. You mean I need to humble myself and step into that muddy Jordan? Well, he was just beside himself walking away. But his servants said, wait. You know, if he had told you to try to do some great deed, you would have tried it. But all he said to do was wash and be clean. Shouldn't you consider that? You know? So he does. And imagine, he's the commander of the Syrian army. So he's got his warrior buddies with him. It's like a small army. You don't go into a foreign country without your buddies, your warrior buddies. And so there's chariots and horses, and they all go down to the Jordan River. And you know what he has to do in order to obey the word of the Lord? He's got to humble himself, get down off of that chariot, and walk into that muddy water. And then, Scripture doesn't say this, but I have an inkling of what happened. He dipped himself one time and he looked at his skin and nothing happened. He dipped a second time. Uh-oh, it's not even fading. Nothing happened. He did it a third time. Now, if he'd stopped there, that would be impartial obedience. Yep. So what is impartial obedience? It's disobedience. Make sure your children know that. And we need to know that. So, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. What did the word of the Lord say? 7 times. So, the 7th time he came up, his skin was restored. It was like the skin of a brand new baby. When God does something, he does it right. And not only was he clean, he was restored. In Israel, if you're a leper, you cannot worship in the temple. He's not only clean, he is restored. And can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine his joy? So they all load up. They go back to Elisha's house. Here's the gold. Here's the silver. Here's these clothes. And Elisha says, nope, I'm not taking any of it. You know why he didn't take any of it? That's what the false prophets did. Sordid gain. He is the prophet of the one true living God. And as I said in the small groups, we're like Elisha. Our job is just to point people, to point beggars where they can get bread, to give them the word of God. We are serving the food. We are the waiter. Our job is not to spill the food. We just get it on the table. We don't make the food. We don't make the meat. We just point people to Jesus. Amen. That's what we do. I'm not going to serve any other God. The one true living God is the God of Israel. Let me take some dirt home so when I can sacrifice on the dirt from Israel. He was a believer. We're going to see him one day. And we're going to see that slave girl one day. So who are you? Are you the slave girl sharing the gospel? No matter. Don't wait. Don't wait for a high position to share the gospel. God's put you where you are today. You are in a strategic location today, no matter how humble your circumstances are. Tell who the true prophet of God is. Tell them the word of God. Are you Naaman? You got a problem. You need totally cleansed. Something you can't do. You're going to have to humble yourself, get yourself off of that chariot and walk in that muddy water and obey the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Don't be that king of Israel who is clueless. Clueless. Jesus said in Luke 4, he's in his hometown, and he said, in the days of Elisha, there were many lepers in Israel, but Elisha only cured one. Naaman, the Gentile, the Syrian. Why? The hard heartedness of the people. Do we want God to work in this body? We can't be stiff-necked. Amen. We can't be hard-hearted. We humble ourselves before God.
Amen.
And we're like Elisha. Come and see that the Lord is good. Let us show you who the one true living God is.
Amen.
So who are you? Who are you in this story?
Amen.
Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray you will stir hearts this morning. We love you. And thank you for being our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.